Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15. Text number 8. Shri Ram Yadavatnoti Yatschapyu Kramati Shraha Grihi Vaitani Samyati Vayora Gandan Ivashayat. Shri Ram, the body, Yat as Avatnoti gets Yat. As Cha'api also Udkramati gives up Ishvaha, the Lord of the body, Vihiva taking Etani all these Samyati goes away Vayu the air Gandan smells, Eva like, Ashayat from their source. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity in the material world carries its different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. Change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change the cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to the karma. He has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries a conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. Next day. Shariram yadavatnoti Yatschapyu Kramati Shra Vihi Vaitani Samyati Vayura Gandan Ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthana Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesh Harshanivadi Paskatya De Sitarna. This is very much in line with the idea that we have our free will. That is, we can decide whether we want to go to heaven or hell, or come back here, or go to the spiritual world, depends upon us. Of course, it is not that we're independent, but at least we can decide whether we want to listen to Krishna, or learn how to listen to Krishna, become more capable of hearing from Krishna, or we want to forget about Krishna. More or less try to shut him out more and more from our lives and our existence. And therefore, that is also a choice. Just like modern society, is certainly giving everyone the opportunity to forget God more and more and to become absorbed in a life of material happiness, so-called material happiness, where everyone is free to work hard, but basically just enough hard so they can get a house to live in, some food to eat, a car, and some insurance so that when they grow old and are about to die, they can die happily in a hospital. And then come back again in some other species of life. But people don't know about these things, that there is a next life. They think that at the end of this life, everything is finished, that there's no question of, even if there is a next life, most people sentimentally think that it's always a higher life, that one doesn't go down into the lower species of life. Because where all these lower species of life come from, they never think about. That if no one goes into the lower species of life, then who is in the lower species of life? And why are they in the lower species of life? If no one ever goes into the lower species of life, why are there lower species of life? Therefore, we can see that there are very few human beings, and we can conclude that very few human beings take very seriously reality, the fact that most people, most living entities are not human beings. Now they can conclude that those living entities in lower species of life, either they're not alive, although they appear to be alive, they appear to have the same functions that we do, they're eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The modern materialistic or mechanistic idea is that it's all going on by conditioned reflex. It's just a chemical reaction. When you take away the calf from the cow, it starts to cry because it's a chemical reaction. That when you, even Dr. Chandra Bose, he did some experiments with plants, and he would have certain people come in and torture the plants, burn their leaves, pluck their leaves, cut their bark, and then he'd measure the reaction of the plants. They had a measuring device. And they found that when people who had tortured the plant come into the room, the plant would feel very distressed. It would give all the symptoms of distress. And as others would come and water the plant and caress the plant, sing to the plant, when the persons would walk into the room, they'd feel very good, the plant. Their leaves would brighten, they'd assimilate more food, etc. They appear to be more healthy. So attribute that to simply a mechanistic understanding doesn't make any sense. But even the plants, they show response to affection or envy or whatever else, just like human beings do. So what to speak of the other animals? Just like nowadays in modern society, they treat their dog very nicely. If someone said, "I'm going to come and shoot your dog and eat it," most people would not appreciate it. "You got a nice dog there, I think I'll shoot it and eat it." "Thank you very much. You can have the fur after I'm done." Just like I gave the example, and people have different understandings of what a dog is. That lady who brought her dog to a restaurant in, true story, in Hong Kong. She was going to a very fancy restaurant, so she thought that maybe I shouldn't bring my dog into the restaurant. So she gave the dog to the person who was standing at the door, the doorman, and pointed to the dog and said, "Please look after my dog, you know, because I don't think I should bring it in." But the doorman didn't understand a word of English. Therefore, he was thinking that in a different thing. So she went in, she had her meal that she ordered, and she came out, and she asked, "Where is my dog?" And the doorman tried to explain that, according to his understanding, that was her meal, that she had eaten the dog. So there's some cultural differences. There. I said sometimes lead to misunderstandings. Because that's the nature of the material world. People are in different modes of nature and they have a different understanding. Therefore, they don't mind torturing certain types of animals, certain types of plants and trees, but they put aside cats and dogs as something special. If someone advertised cat burgers or dog burgers, people would be shocked. Immediately there would be a protest, they'd arrest the person. But if you advertise, you know, hamburgers, pig burgers, oh, that's very nice. So nice, such a nice, or cow burgers, people think a nice steak, that's good. So what's the difference, actually? What is the actual difference between a cow and a dog? That would make one think that a dog is something more special than a cow, that a dog is a person. If you said that, oh, it's just a machine, why can't I shoot it and eat it? It's just a piece of meat, a dead piece of meat. It's not alive, it has no consciousness. People would become very upset. You know, you're saying my dog has no personality. He's my best friend. He's the only one who loves and cares for me. He's the only one who wags his tail when I come home at night. Everyone else couldn't care less. But my dog at least wags its tail and comes and licks me. It's the only person I know practically. Therefore, people are bewildered because they have no discrimination. It's all based on sentiment. But here it says that if we make the dog our friend, then naturally we'll become a dog in our next lifetime. We'll die thinking of a dog, and naturally we'll become a dog. But as that lady said, that girl student who stood up at least one time during Prabhupada's class after he explained the philosophy of transmigration, and she said, Swamiji, I don't mind if I become a dog. I'd like to become a dog. So Prabhupada said, you have my blessings. So with the blessings of the great saint, then undoubtedly that lady did become a dog. But I'm sure she didn't appreciate it. Burjan Prabhu was telling me one realization he had being in Vrindavan for 6 months was that it's not very good to become a dog. The dogs are a monkey in Vrindavan. They have a very difficult life. They're just spending the whole time fighting, either with their friends or against others. Very miserable life. There's no peace. There's nothing but fighting and pain and suffering. But people don't mind it because they're in ignorance. They have no idea what they have in store for them. But it's the subtle body which carries the conception of the next body, which develops the next body in the next life. So what to speak of changing their activities? If people are told they have to change their desires, they won't be able to figure that at all. What do you mean, change my desires to what? They think that progress is accumulating more and more material things. They have no conception at all that they should change their desires. They think if they can increase their lusty desires without becoming angry, they're very fortunate. They want to become lusty like anything. And greedy, they think greedy is, that's pretty good, that's you know, fairly good. Shouldn't be too greedy, but just greedy enough to get everything you want. And you have to do that all without becoming angry or frustrated. That when your greed or your lust can't be satisfied, somehow or another, you have to be not angry. In other words, their whole conception is, you have to be able to become exploitative enough, intelligent enough, that you can unlimitedly satisfy your greed. So that no anger will arise, no frustration. But at the same time, you have a society full of frustrated, angry people who can only survive by taking painkillers and all kinds of drugs because they're angry and frustrated, because they can't possibly satisfy the lust and the greed, which is always increasing beyond anyone's capacity. They may max out their credit card and live a life of pretension, but ultimately they have to pay all their debts, and that's just frustrating. Just like I just came from the farm, we have a new governor. So many farmers there, after 2 years of no rain, they're just committing suicide. because they have nothing else to do. Their whole conception was that my farm will bring me unlimited wealth and I'll be able to enjoy unlimited sense gratification, and their farm is bringing them no wealth, and therefore they're not enjoying any, you know, they're enjoying less and less. So they figure the best way out is just kill oneself, and that's the end of it. They have no idea that they'll have to come back in the next lifetime to another drought. Or they may not even get a human form of life. They may come back as a ghost committing suicide because they didn't really know that they were supposed to develop their consciousness, not simply rely upon the external energy for their happiness. And of course, following Krishna's directions, that will elevate one's consciousness. So human life is that opportunity to elevate one's consciousness. Or if one is more fortunate, then one can try and fix the mind upon Krishna and try and become Krishna conscious. But at least one should try to act according to the human standard, not simply according to the acceptable standard of modern society, which is all based upon the ignorant conception of identifying oneself with the body. Therefore, in order to defeat modern materialistic society, it's actually not very difficult. All we do is have to explain to people the fact that they're not their body, and give them the tools to realize it, namely the chanting of Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, which, if people take some time to study and read, in spite of all the materialistic propaganda, people will see that it actually is valueless, that this is not the only life, and that they have to be concerned with the next life, where they're going next, because we're here for such an insignificant amount of time compared to what our real existence, what our existence will be like after here. Then this life can only be used in preparation for the next one. There's no, cannot be no other purpose, because it's so insignificant compared to eternity. Just like in terms of time, if someone was awarded $100 billion, they'd feel very good. But if it was only going to be rewarded to you for 1/100,000,000th of a second, then what value does it have? You just receive the mail, you know, you've been awarded $100 billion, but you can come and collect it, but you can only have it for 1/1,000,000th of a second. Just like King Katvanga Maharaj, after fighting for the demigods for so long, then he decided, or the demigods Kartikeya offered him a benediction, whatever he wanted. Would you like a few planets? What would you like? He said, no, just tell me one thing. How long do I have left to live? So they said, one moment. So he didn't, his material ideas vanished immediately and came down to the earth and tried to fix his mind upon Krishna in that one moment. So similarly, we're only here for a moment, less than a moment, compared to eternity. So unless we try to fix our minds upon Krishna, surely we're just wasting this life uselessly. And the result is that one may become a lower species of life, and that's where practically everyone is heading for. Everywhere you look, they're, all they're doing is eating chicken and fast foods and all kinds of things. All they're doing is practically trying to, they're engaged simply in the animal tendencies of life, with no idea of any higher consciousness. And even if they go to a church or a synagogue or a mosque, all they do is pray for more sense gratification. That if one is going to hell, that's bad enough, but he's praying, give me a jet plane so I can get there quicker. Then that's even worse. You know, we're making progress so slow, you know, it takes such a long time to go to hell. Give us the shortest possible route we can get there. Therefore, the only hope is to understand this philosophy of how we're getting one body and then taking another one. Because that's not possible, especially in this age, without some help from this guru, sadhu, and shastra, and especially the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, there won't be any hope for anyone in this age unless they take up this process. And we have to take up the process too. And then there'll be hope, some hope for us too. Jai Gorni Tai Ki Jai. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, I guess it depends where you are.
Sorry?
Well, ask your father, how is Israel doing? Who won? What's that? Oh, doesn't matter who wins. So. Unless they vote all the Muslims out of Palestine. Which I don't think is very likely. But even that wouldn't stop, and they have to get rid of the rest of the Arabs in all of the Middle East. And that's not going to be possible. But Israel, Iraq, Korea, Africa, where are they doing nicely? Indonesia.
Even in our Western environment, things can be saying that this is getting worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Behavior and people eat doesn't taste the same or they use the fruit and what it's
called. Yeah, things are gradually degrading at an ever faster rate. The demons are becoming more and more prominent. But at the same time, that will simply encourage people to choose. Because right now, our Sankirtan movement is not at all-time strength either. We're not really having much of an effect right now compared to previously. When Prabhupada was here, or at least even after Prabhupada's disappearance, when the devotees were more enthusiastic to spread the Sankirtan movement. But even then, it would take a tremendous amount of spiritual potency to be able to change the direction that Kali Yuga is going on in present. Even as you said, just even in terms of America and the environment, they say that Bush has just decided to give his friends more or less free reign over the environment in America. So they can pollute the air, cut down the trees, pollute the water. Whatever America does, naturally many other people follow too. They're about to go to war, which is obviously just completely self-motivated. They're not even embarrassed. The only thing they can do is, just like I was reading that the UN inspectors, they said one thing, and then all the Bush administration, they were saying completely something else. They were citing the UN inspectors, quoting them, saying things that they never said. So the head of the inspectors just kept on saying, "We didn't say this, we didn't say that, we didn't say that. That's not our conclusion." But somehow or another, these demons are prominent enough, they can just throw a whole country, practically the whole world into chaos. That's because they're their own selfish desires. They don't care if millions of people suffer, just so they can satisfy their own selfish desires. So that's what's going on now. In the absence of any real knowledge, people are in ignorance. Therefore, they have no choice. It's like they think choice is whether they smoke Marlboros. Is that still a cigarette around? Does that cigarette still exist? Or Camels. They think that's their choice. Whether you go to hell smoking Marlboros or Camels, they think they have a choice like that. They don't think their choice is not to smoke. Anything else? Yeah.
The little bit like that, like as you think, but it's that motivated. Like how come the followers in case they put video, they're not saying anything?
The who?
The other members of society.
Well, they do say things. Why should they listen to them?
Yeah.
They just do whatever they wanted to. And they went to war against Vietnam, you know, lie after lie for so many years, killing so many people, so many protests. Practically speaking, one year, all the ROTC, they burned down over 500 of the training centers in the colleges for the offices. It's called ROTC. They burned down almost 600 of them in the colleges across the country. So obviously people were protesting. There were millions of people protesting. So only when it came to a point that they were ready to, you know, overthrow the government practically, but they decided that then they switched their policy. Because they think it's democracy, but actually there's no democracy. In modern society, you just don't know who's in charge, that's all. You have one person who sponsors, who pays off both candidates. So either one, it doesn't matter who wins. But then you think you had your choice. But they both have the same agenda, practically speaking. It's like in the communist countries, they have elections, but there's only one person on the ballot. So here you have elections, you have at least two people on the ballot, but they're both being paid by the same person. So it doesn't matter who wins, you lose. Anything else?
Verse 30, it says, doubt, misapprehension, correct apprehension, memory, and sleep, as determined by their different functions, are said to be the distinct characteristics of intelligence. I was just wondering why sleep is a distinct characteristic.
Well, that explains that in the purport. It says that sleep nourishes the intelligence. Unless you get enough sleep, you won't have your intelligence. Sleep is necessary for the intelligence to function properly. Does it say that in the purport? The next one.
All right, the
next
one.
What's that? Yeah, what did he give to me? That's what I just said. Smriti means memory, and swapna means sleep. Sleep is also necessary to keep the intelligence in working order. If there is no sleep, the brain cannot work nicely. you have to just read the purports. Anything else? Yes. Well, it's the effect of the fact that we're not so advanced spiritually, that's all. We get too easily affected by the material energy. The Prabhupada is here, he's able to at least, not that we didn't have our difficulties, there is similarly difficulties. But we didn't get so misguided, we didn't go so off the track. Therefore, some of our most prominent leaders fell down because they were misled, and they misled others to some degree. Therefore, our whole movement became disturbed. Mostly it's from imitation. They were trying to imitate a devotee on a higher platform, and therefore they got into trouble. One is sure to fall down if one imitates a devotee on a higher platform. Because then one will give up the regular principles of devotional life. And if one is not sufficiently advanced by such so-called advancement, but when one gives up the regular principles of devotional life, humbly hearing and chanting and serving, then the result is that one is under the clutches of the illusory energy, and one will fall down. So too many of our devotees prematurely became great paramahansas and fell down. Because since they gave up the basic principles of devotional life. Namely, hearing, chanting, and serving. Yeah, like chanting 16 offenseless rounds a day, or at least trying to avoid the 10 offenses, getting up early in the morning, coming to the program, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Humbly doing some service, reading Prabhupada's books. It certainly helps. There must have been a reason why Srila Prabhupada established it and Rupa Goswami recommends it. If we think they don't know what they're talking about, then we're certainly in trouble. That was old fashioned, that was for 20 years ago. Now we have a new way of doing it. You know, make a lot of money, and even if Yamaraj comes, you pay him off. Bribe your way into the spiritual world. Even the gatekeepers there have their price. Well, the only price of entering into the spiritual world is to become expert at hearing and chanting. So we have to practice that. Other things are secondary. And as soon as we think we're great Paramahansas, we don't have to do that anymore. And we're finished. It's just a product of illusion. Okay, thank you very much. Grantarashamad Bhagavad Gita Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Pramalinde.